So I've titled this tonight, The Night Before the Promise. The Night Before the Promise. And as the song says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when I'm sleeping, you're still working. I still believe that God does some of his best work at night, where our faith is being in that chamber of incubation period, and it's being developed. That's where our faith really gets developed, is in adversity. Can y'all hear the bubbles back there? That's kind of a neat effect, isn't it? The bubbles, the tub's got the bubbles. It's kind of like, you know, kind of, this is kind of nice. Okay. All right. Let's go to the book of Numbers, chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17, I want to read verses 1 through 8. Numbers 17, 1 through 8. What's the first word? Okay, I'll wait till you find it. All right, what's the first word? We could be here all day, folks. Then. What is then? Then is in reference to what happened in chapter 16, something else is getting ready to happen in chapter 17. Do you remember, and I will not preach on this part, but I do want to just give you a little bit of a history. In chapter 16, there was a man by the name of Korah that got about 250 people together, and they decided they wanted to be the leader. They wanted to be the pastor, and they were going to get Moses out, and they decided that we're going to have a coup and take over. Well, the Bible tells us in chapter 16 Korah and Dothan, I believe it was it Dothan? Somebody help me. Got out. They decided to get a following, and they got the leaders of the whole church. They got all the leaders and said, "Come on, we're going to take over. We're going to take over the leadership of our church." And so Moses stood before them and said, "Now listen, I didn't appoint myself. God called me, and there's nothing you can do about it. But if you think you can take over, then here's your chance." Well, the Bible says that immediately the earth opened up and swallowed them, and they went into their fiery grave, and then the earth covered them up, and the Bible says they were seen no more. Not only Korah and the other guy, but not only the 250, but their entire families, their entire household was swallowed up by the earth. How many knows God don't like it when you come against him, right? God don't like it when you try to change his mind on some things. And so the earth swallowed them up. And then a little bit further down in the chapter, after all this happened, it said, then the next morning, there was some more that came against him and said, "Now listen, we're gonna try this again. They may be gone, but we're still here. We want to take over." And the Bible says that the Lord sent a plague, and 4,000 people died in that plague for trying to take over what God had ordained. And so now we come to chapter 17. So the plague has killed 4,000. The opening of the earth killed several hundred. And then here's what the Lord said. I'm going to show you who the real leader. I'm going to really show you who the one's supposed to be there. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the people of Israel to bring 12 wooden staffs." Darling, I forgot my walking stick. I was going to bring my walking stick this morning. "Bring 12 wooden staffs, one from each leader of the Israel's ancestral tribes, and inscribe the leader's name on each staff. Inscribe Aaron's name on the staff of the tribe of Levi, for there must be one staff for each leader of each ancestral tribe." Okay. "Place the staff in the tabernacle, in the front of the ark containing the tablets of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Buds will sprout on the staff belonging to the man I choose." In other words, I've got this dead stick. There's 12 of them in there, and one of them's going to bring forth fruit. "Then I will finally put an end to the people's murmuring and complaining against you." So Moses gave the instructions to the people of Israel, and each of the 12 tribal leaders, including Aaron, brought Moses a staff. Moses placed the staffs in the Lord's presence in the tabernacle of the covenant. When he went into the tabernacle of the covenant the next day, everybody say the next day, he found that Aaron's staff or Aaron's rod, representing the tribe of Levi, had sprouted and budded and blossomed and produced ripe almonds. Somebody say overnight. It says on the next day, but how many knows that was overnight? God did something quickly. Huh? God did something quickly. You say, Pastor, it don't say anything about the night, but it does say on the morrow. Some translations say on the morrow or the next day. It budded, it blossomed, and it brought forth fruit. Truly, God indicating who was the leader for the tribe for the 12 tribes of Israel. So picture with me, if you would, just for a moment, an old dead stick. A broomstick or a dead limb off of a tree, or my walking stick that I was going to bring this morning. Picture with me, if you would, that stick. There's no sap, there's no life, there's no juice. It's just a dead stick. You light a match to it and it'll burn up instantly. But the Bible said the next day, after the night, the next day that rod blossomed and bloomed and brought forth fruit. My message to you today is exactly the same thing that what he did there, he wants to do in your life. He wants to take something that appears to be hopeless, something that appears to be totally dead, something that has no life. It could be a marriage, it could be a relationship, it could be your finances, it could be your job. We can go any way you want to with this, but it's something that's totally hopeless and that dead thing, and God's going to cause it to bud and blossom and bring forth fruit. So I announce to you this morning, it's no accident that you've come to Solid Rock today. Today is the day that God has a special word for you. The bottom line is, don't even think about giving up. Yes, it's nighttime. Yes, you're going through a dark experience. Yes, you can't see God working. You can't feel God working. But understand today that overnight, God has a way of changing things and causing something that was dead to become fruitful. Amen. Is this okay today? Yes. Now, here's the statement that Josh made that's almost word for word what I had in my notes. In order for faith to be effectively germinated to the point of fruition, it must be incubated through a nighttime process. In other words, your faith has to be tested through a nighttime experience for it to bring forth fruit. Is this all right today? You think you might get a nugget or two out of this today? For faith to reach its appointed harvest, it must endure the dark night. None of us like the dark nights. None of us like those nighttime experiences. None of us like it when we can't feel the presence of God, or our home is not running smoothly, or things are falling apart on the job, or your finances are crumbling, and everything's falling apart. Nobody likes it. But when we go through that dark season and we stay faithful to God, we keep our mouth full of the praises of God. He has a way of causing that dead thing to bud and blossom and bring forth fruit overnight. Everybody say the next day. Abraham waited in the night for the promise. Joseph dreamed in the darkness of the prison. So faith must be incubated in the hidden places. Somebody say the night before the promise. Faith cannot flourish in an atmosphere where there is no adversity. Think about it. Why do you need faith if there's never any adversity? What would you exercise your faith toward if there was never a need? If there was never a crisis? If you never had to go through anything? Why would you need faith? Faith, in order to be productive, needs some challenging conditions. And nobody, Carl, likes challenging conditions. We want smooth sailing. We don't want storms. We don't want the boat to rock. We don't want our lives to be rocky. We want smooth sailing. But honey, in this life, you are going to have times that your boat will rock and the winds of adversity will blow. You will have those times, but cheer up. Jesus said he's overcome the world and joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, David said in Psalms 50, but joy comes in the morning. Give the Lord a praise if you believe that this morning. Faith always will germinate when there's adversity. But you know what? Most of the time, people don't give their faith an opportunity to germinate, to grow, and develop because they run at the first sign of adversity. Hello? We run at the first little problem that comes our way. We have somebody challenges on our job. We're ready to quit our job and go to another job. A husband challenges a wife. A wife challenges a husband. There's a little disagreement. And the first thing we do is we go our separate ways. Listen, folks, that's not life. Life is living in the midst of the storms and overcoming when God says, I'll cause your marriage. I'll cause your finances. I'll cause your body to bud and blossom and produce even overnight. What I want you to see, and if you don't see this, you're going to miss the whole message. It's the night seasons that God works his best. Oh no, we don't like it, do we? We don't like the night season, but I'm telling you, that's when God works his best. You know what we want? We want a peanut butter and jelly path all the way from here to heaven, but it's not that way. There will be some things come against us, and that's not negative preaching. I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. It's just fact, honey. Life has got problems. If you've never had a problem, then you evidently ain't living. Do you hear me slip that little Arkansas word in there? Ain't. Some people run at the first sign of adversity, and they never develop their faith to get beyond their last test. Amen? Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back a little ways here to the book of the beginnings, and let's see what God did here. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. The earth was formless and empty, and everybody say darkness. Darkness did what? It covered everything. It covered the deep. It covered everything. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness night. And notice the next phrase. And the evening passed and the morning came. When I read that, I about jumped out of my skin. The evening passed and the morning came. You see, I'm used to reading the King James Version that says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. But when I read it from the NLT, man, I really got a great revelation. The evening passed. How many knows the evening always passes? The shadows always disappear. Whew, this is good stuff. God stood, the Spirit of God moved in the night, in the blackness of the night. He spoke his word and said, let there be light. How many knows that out of darkness, light emerged? What's going to emerge out of this thing that you're going through called your night season? I wonder what's going to come out of this. What is God going to do? How's God going to turn this around? What kind of a testimony are we going to have out of hopelessness? The earth was without form and void. Out of hopelessness, the Spirit of God moved in the darkness. I want to say it again. Our God can work through adversity. And as you drop down through Genesis chapter 1, you see scripture after scripture that says, the evening passed and the morning came. The evening passed and the morning came. My message to you this morning is, listen, hold on. If you're in a midnight experience, if you're in a dark trial going through something, just hold on. It will turn around, because how many knows evening passes and morning comes? Joy comes in the morning, and morning comes every day. Is this all right? Man, I'm about to preach out of my shoes this morning. Oh, my. You might be sitting next to somebody. Let me back up just a little bit. While we're here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, 10:54 a.m., it's daylight. Yippee. But do you know that at the same time, right now in the Philippines, it's not 10:54 a.m., it's 11:54 p.m. While we are in our daytime, somebody else is going through a nighttime. You may be sitting here today going through your daytime, but I guarantee you there's people sitting here today that's going through a nighttime process. You're going through a nighttime part of your life, nighttime, and you're just thinking, God, is daylight going to ever come? When's morning going to come? I want to tell you something, and I'll say it again and again. Just hold on. Morning's coming. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Just hold on. Morning's going to come. Daytime will come. In 12 hours, daytime's coming. If it's midnight in your life, I'll tell you what, there's a bright noonday coming. Just hold on another few hours. And the morning, the evening passed, and the evening passed, and the morning came. So God knows how to make day out of your night. God knows how to solve our problems. God knows how to give us the wisdom to get through those nighttime, dead, dry experiences of life. Can I hear a good amen tonight? Amen. Today, weeping may enjoy for a night, but how many of those? Joy comes in the morning. You show me anybody that's having a great morning, and I'll show you somebody that had a dark night recently. Come on now. You missed the point. You show me somebody that's having a great morning, it stands to reason that they probably just came through a dark night. There's no such thing as walking in the daylight 24 hours a day. I mean, nature teaches us that, right? Great mornings are not made from great mornings. Great mornings are made from bad nights. Nobody wants a bad night, right? So if you're going through a midnight, as the world turns, remember that soap opera? As the world turns, surely, surely daylight is coming into your life. Amen? As the world turns. Boy, that brings back memories, don't it? Woo! You don't have to do anything. Just hold on. Just hang on. In fact, just go to sleep. Go to sleep in the night and wake up and see if God hasn't changed some things around. Amen? Tell somebody, I think I better hang on. Tell somebody else, I think I better hang on. God never sleeps. God never slumbers. God works in the night. He's the night watchman. He watches over us in our night seasons. You say, brother, can you give me a scripture for that? Yeah, Acts 16, Paul and Silas. It was midnight. It was midnight. They were beaten. Their skin was ripped open. They were tied in a cesspool of sewer. They were tied to the wall. They couldn't go anywhere. They couldn't do anything. But the Bible says at midnight. It was not daytime. It was nighttime. It was not answer prayer time. It was still faith germinating in a dark hole. But the Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas sang praises unto God. You see, what do we do when we go through our midnights? What do we do when we go through our dark seasons? What do we go through in our night lives? We complain, we gripe, we whine. God, when's this going to be over? When's it going to be over? But Paul and Silas says, just praise God in your midnight hour and see what I can do for you. Another one, how about Peter? Remember, Peter was locked up in the prison. He had all these guards around him watching over him. He was tied hand and foot. He was in that prison, and they were going to take his head off the next day. They were about to get rid of him, and the Bible says in the middle of the night an angel walked in. In the middle of his night, an angel walked in, and the Bible teaches us there that they were set free. In the middle of the night, the angel liberated him. Hey, how about this one? Jesus hanging on the cross. Remember, he hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth. The Bible says the ground began to tremble and the sun refused to shine. Why? Because he endured the darkness of being separated from his Father all night long. He endured the darkness. But how many knows on Sunday morning what happened? Somebody shout, he got up. Remember that song, Dwayne? Where are you at? Where's Dwayne? Dwayne, where are you? He's around here somewhere. He got up. How many knows he got up? We used to sing that song. He got up with all power. Our entire gospel message is built upon a nighttime to morning experience. Did you get that? I didn't ask you to come up and sing it now. Somebody said, well, Brother Rhodes, I don't know who you're preaching to. I've never had a night. Well, can I just encourage you? Just hang on. Just hang on. Now, some people don't like this type of preaching because they want to hear all the goody stuff. They want to hear all the whipped cream and the frosting and the cherry on top stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. You just hang on. If you're having a good day today, good news. Hang on, because nighttime will come to all of us. Amen. But what are we going to do in the nighttime? How are we going to react in the nighttime? You say, we can't stop the nighttime from coming. We can't stop it from coming. But we can control how we react in the nighttime. Amen? We can control how we are going to react in the night seasons of our life. Amen? Now, when you're going through a nighttime, you can't walk by sight. How many's ever walked through the living room in the nighttime? And somehow that coffee table or that end table got moved and you didn't know it until you kicked it with your big toe, right? And everybody in here said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad it didn't kill me, right? No. I don't want to be around when I hear what you say. In a nighttime experience, you can't walk by sight. Or it'll pull you down. You've got to walk by faith in the nighttime experience. That's the only way you can survive the night. Remember this scripture? Faith calleth those things that be not as though they were. So our faith refuses to be blinded by the night. We will stand tall in the night season and still testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen? Is this helping anybody today? It's helping me. Because I know I got a nighttime coming. And I know what I'm going to do. Listen to this. Faith is relentless. It's radical. It's tenacious. And when backed into a corner with nothing to hold on to, faith says, I still believe the word of God. I'm not wavering because of what I see. I might have lost my job, but I still believe. I might be 3 months behind on my car payment, but I still believe the word of God. I might my husband or my wife may be pulling further and further away from me, but I'm standing on the word of God. I may limp when I walk, but I'm still standing on the word of God. We got to stop being crybabies. Is that right, Dr. Sue? Okay, now this might be just a little hard for some of you to swallow. So let me take a big drink and get ready for this. Okay, here's what I jotted down. Sometimes you are not doing people a favor when you try to stop them from going through their night. It's only through the night seasons that our faith will germinate and produce for us. But we stop. We don't want you to go through that, so we're here to get you out of that. Sometimes people have got to go through their night. I mean, bottom line is sometimes you just got to let people go through their night season. You got to let them go through it so they can learn. Amen? We delay God's mornings because we have helped people and their night season, or helped them to avoid their night season. You're not going to avoid it. You always have a night season. Amen? Here's what I wrote down. Sometimes you just got to go through what you got to go through so you can get to what you got to get to. And don't ask me to say that again. Do you know that a lot of parents have messed up their children's lives because they're always getting them out of everything? I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you, if you bail your children out of everything, they're never going to learn. There's a family in this church that had to shut the door and lock the door on their son because he was stealing from them. He had a drug problem. And they said, no, you can't come in anymore. They had to lock the front door, and they felt bad. They felt horrible. They felt like, what kind of a parent am I? But you know what? Somewhere along the line, you got to stop aiding and abetting and start taking a stand and say, son, it's time that you learn for yourself to grow up. Yeah. Hello, church. If we're always bailing them, if every time they get a ticket and you go down to jail and bail them out, they're never going to learn. We have to go through night seasons in order for us to grow and mature. Okay. I want to go back to our text and let's talk about this for just a minute and then I'll let you go. Okay, there's 12 tribes of Israel, right? Each one of them has been given a rod, so to speak. And this dispute was who's going to lead, who's going to be the leader, who's going to be the leader that leads the children of Israel, who's going to be the ones that gets to go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, who gets to be the one. You know what? You can't just pick and choose what you want to do. How many knows God calls? I said God calls. And God had already called Aaron and the Levi tribe to be the priest. But these cats think they want to do it, and they can do it better. I mean, some things never change. Oh, my gosh. Here we are in the 21st century church, and some things never change. God had already ordained the tribe of Israel, but some people don't like God's decisions. You know, anytime God begins to bless somebody, there's always somebody that's going to rise up and complain and feel like, well, it should have been me, not them. I'm more faithful than they are. I come to church more times than they do. I give more in the tithe and offerings than they do. In fact, I'm the second, third, fourth biggest giver at Solid Rock. It should have been my blessing, not their blessing. You know what? You know, that kind of an attitude stinks with God. Because people don't like it when God starts to bless somebody else. And my Bible says, Duane, that we're to rejoice with those that rejoice, but instead we get jealous with those that are blessed. Huh? Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? Anybody out there listening? Did they say amen, Dara? Nobody said amen? Okay. Should have been me that was blessed. Can I tell you something this morning? Don't give up on your dream just because there are scoffers and people that make fun of you and say that you're not good enough and you didn't earn the right. Listen, if you came through the night, you earned the right to call it daytime. Can I hear an amen? Don't listen to the critics. So they had 12 sticks. They put them in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And God is saying, now listen, guys, don't worry about the critics. Don't worry about those that thinks it's supposed to be them. I will choose whom I choose, and whom I choose will be the one that I want to come before the Ark of the Covenant. And so they lay them out overnight, and God says, the man that I choose. How many knows this is all about God choosing? This is all about who God chooses. You know, God chose you. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I finally chose God? No, God chose you before you were ever born. Before you let out a scream in the delivery room, God already had a purpose and a calling upon your life. Amen. Is this good teaching today? Yes. Not as good as Josh, but it's good. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. God calls and chooses people before they're born, and some people don't like because God chose them and didn't choose me. Before you were in the belly, he told Jeremiah, before I ever formed you, I ordained you and I sanctified you to be a prophet to the nations. How many knows God didn't do that just for Jeremiah? Amen? Now, let's qualify this. God did not say, I chose you because you're a good man. He didn't say, I chose you because you don't beat your wife. He didn't say, I chose you because you got a college education. Or I didn't choose you because of, you know, how you treat your spouse. No, he said, I chose you before you were a bleep on the monitor. I already chose you. Even when you were out in sin, doing your own thing, trying to kill yourself, trying to destroy others, he said, I still had a call upon your life. Some of you sitting here this morning, God has a call upon your life. You've never really discovered what that is. You've not really honed in on what God wants you to do and be for Him. And sometimes we just end up walking in circles. But I'm here to tell you today, God has a special purpose just for you, and nobody can fill that slot.
That's right.
Even while you were out playing around in sin, God still had a calling. You know why? Because He called you before you were born. Think, isn't that kind of deep? God had a plan and chose me to be what I was before. I didn't know God called me to be a pastor. When I was 10 years old, 12, 18, 20, I didn't know God called me to be a pastor. But one day my eyes were opened, and I actually began to gravitate towards ministry, and I loved ministry, and God began to confirm that. And that's the way God works. You know, the reason the gun didn't kill you when you pulled the trigger is because God says, I've got a plan for you. Amen. The reason you didn't die in the Vietnam War or the Afghanistan War or the Sri Lanka War, whatever they call that, the reason you didn't die is because God had a plan for you. You're still here. You're still breathing. God has a plan for you.
Amen.
You got drunk. You hit somebody. You totaled your car out. You walked away. You're still here. Listen, God still has a plan. By the way, let me remind you, you didn't choose Him. He chose you. And honey, that makes all the difference in the world. Before you were born, He chose you. Listen, before the law of Moses was ever established, God had called Aaron to be the priestly tribe. Think about that. God chose them. Amen? Everybody shout, I'm chosen. Oh, come on, shout it out. I'm chosen. The Bible says we were chosen before the foundations of the world. Don't that blow your mind? He says, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. So here's where the trouble really begins. When you recognize you've been chosen and you declare, I've been chosen, people will get real critical with you. Well, God chose Tiffany and I to be the associate pastors at Solid Rock. Somebody said, well, who? Sounds to me like Daryl and Darlene chose them. No, God chose them before the foundations of the world to be the next pastors of Solid Rock. And that's all right with me. But listen, some people don't like those choices. Some people don't like those decisions. But God chose me. God chose them. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yes.
Amen. So we see here that people get real critical with you, and they get an attitude, and they start wanting to get a posse to come after you and destroy you because people don't want to see you promoted. Listen, remember Joseph? Joseph was liked by everybody until what? Until he told them the dream. And when he told them the dream, all of a sudden, what they want to do? They want to kill him. Right? And so that's what happens in number 16. This dispute breaks out. I'm going to be the one that has the rod of Aaron or the rod of whatever tribe. I'm going to be the one that walks into the Holy of Holies and presents the sacrifices. I'm going to be the one that leads the children of Israel. But God says, I'm going to settle it. I have an announcement for you this morning. Whatever you're going through today, listen to this. This is from my spirit right now. God says, I will settle it. God says, I will settle it. God says, I will settle it. How many knows the devil may have started it, but God will settle it. Amen. So in the middle of the night, these 12 sticks are laying before the covenant, Ark of the Covenant. They're laying there, and the one out of 12 actually buds, blossoms, and produces fruit overnight. Now, how many knows that's not even natural in a garden? When you plant something, it doesn't just bud, blossom, and grow overnight. But God does His best work at night. God does His miraculous in the night seasons of our life. And God can turn it around for you by Monday morning. Your life can be totally, your marriage, your finances, your physical body, your whatever's going on in your life, your relationship with your kids. God can turn it around by Monday morning. And the morning came. Anybody been blessed in the middle of your crises? You ever been blessed in the middle of the darkness? Darlene and I have had more than one dark period, but God blesses us right through the night season. What you have to do in the night season, Dennis, we just learn to trust, because there's nothing we can do about it. So we have to trust and let our faith say, you know what? Devil's a liar. God is true, and God will settle this thing. Amen? Amen. Say this with me, the night before the promise. Say it again, the night before the promise. The night before the promise has come to pass, God says, I got this. So I'm preaching to somebody today that's in the middle of a mess, but I believe you're going to hang on. Like the old saying, just tie a knot in the end of the rope and hold on in the middle of the night, in the middle of your mess. Here's the key. Praising God and worshiping God in your night season. That's how your faith begins to blossom and grow and bud, produce fruit. I'm going to praise Him in the night season. Silas, I never knew that I'd be going to court. I never knew that these charges would ever be brought against me. I never knew that this would happen to my life. But we stay faithful in the night seasons. And look what God does. So good to see you, buddy. So good to see you. God knows how to turn it around. Sometimes I wonder if we've got the wrong people leading praise and worship. You know, most people testify and lead praise and worship are those that has already come through something. They've already experienced a breakthrough. Woo, I've got something to testify about. I think the real praisers are those that are still in the midnight hour, still going through the tough times of life, and they say, let me tell you how good God is. I can't see Him, I can't feel Him, but I know He is working. That'd be a good time to come up, wouldn't it? Are we going to do that song? I want to do that. That's a good one. I can't feel Him, I can't see Him. I just know by faith, He's there, Dara, He's there. That's what I'm talking about. That's what some of you, that's the real praisers, Tracy. That's the real people that have a testimony. A testimony is not because you've been brought through something. A testimony is, I believe, though God slay me, yet I will trust Him. Amen. It's dark, but I still believe the Word of God. I still believe God answers prayer. I still believe God's coming through for me. Yes. That's the real testimonies. Anybody can testify after the fact, but can we testify and sing like Paul and Silas did in their midnight hour? Oh yeah, I don't have a husband, but I still can praise Him. While I'm waiting for my husband, not me, but you know, others. While I'm waiting for my husband, I can still praise Him. Though I don't have a job, I can still praise Him. Though I haven't got all my money for my Georgia trip that's coming up in October, I'm still going to praise Him. Are you with me? Though I still feel the lump in my breast, I'm still going to praise Him. Though the doctor said it's a tumor, I'm still going to praise Him. That's the people that learn how to exercise faith in the night season. Stand to your feet with me this morning. We need to tell somebody, let me show you how to really praise Him. Everybody say overnight. The next day. The next day, that old dead stick, Gary, that old piece of wood had bearing almonds. I mean, it didn't just, it went through a process. It, what did it do? What was the first thing it did? It blossomed. And those, don't ask me to grow tomato plants, because I told you a long time ago, I'm not good at growing tomatoes, because I plucked those little suckers off there to help it grow faster, but I was plucking the little yellow flowers, which are future tomatoes. I didn't know any better. They just said, pick the suckers off. And I thought, those little yellow flowers, you suckers, you're coming right off of there. I didn't get any tomatoes that year. But it usually takes a while for something to blossom. And then it takes a while for it to bloom. How many of those, when things are blooming, they, it don't last forever? I got some beautiful white blooms at a certain time of year at our house. Our bushes are just snow white, but it don't stay there very long. But it didn't only blossom and bloom, but it what? It brought forth fruit. It brought forth fruit all overnight. That is a quick work of God. And God, my message to you this morning is God works in the nighttime. Don't be deceived, and don't give up, and don't let go. And you say, oh, Brother Rhodes, it's been such a long night. It may be a long night, but I want to tell you, that joy of giving that birth to that child helps you to forget about the pain of the last 9 months. So I'm told. So, can we not rejoice in the night seasons of our life? The real praisers are those that will say, I don't have the answer in my hands yet, but I'm going to praise God because I know He's faithful and I know it's coming. The evening passed and the morning came. Morning's coming for every one of you that will stay tuned in and stay in touch with God. Keep your mouth right. Keep your confession right. Keep your faith out there. Can I hear an amen today? Look at your neighbor. Come on, everybody, look at your neighbor, whoever that is. Maybe your spouse or whatever. Say, I've been going through this, but this is my last night. I'm through walking the floor. I'm through twiddling my thumbs. I'm through losing sleep. Come on, I'm through eating so many Tums to take care of the indigestion. It's over with. I cast it all over on God, and I'm going to rest in the night season of my life. Woo! Come on, somebody praise Him this morning. Somebody give Him a praise. This is my last night. This is my last night. I want you to join hands with the person next to you. You can either go across the aisle or you don't have to. It's up to you this morning. Join hands. Say this with me. I know I'm chosen. God chose me. I didn't choose Him. I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know how the healing's going to get here. I don't know how God's going to restore the marriage. But I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to praise Him in the night season. And I'm going to see the hand of God move on my behalf.
You are here.
Come on, sing it out, guys.
Moving in.
You are here, Lord. It may be night, but you're here.
I would.